We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by Root Metrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on Root Metrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
Not from Detroit, and no, we are not lying to you today. Ben Roethlisberger will be playing legitimate NFL football on a football field Saturday for the Steelers' third preseason game of the 2021 season. Welcome to All Steelers Talk. My name is Donnie Jurian, joined weekly by my co-host, Noah Strackmine. Before we get started, go ahead and subscribe to All Steelers Talk on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at @SI_Steelers. Go to give us our Facebook page a like, All Steelers on Sports Illustrated, and then find our respective Twitter handles below. Noah, it's a beautiful Friday morning or afternoon, depending on what side of the country you're on. Plenty to talk about today ahead of the Steelers-Lions game this Saturday. But before we talk about the Steelers, Noah, we got to talk about a guy who isn't even on the Steelers quite yet.
No, he is not.
He should not return to the Steelers. Let me excuse myself.
Not return. No, it's a great time. It's always a great day when the first thing you get to talk about is Antonio Brown. Spoiler alert, but when you get to talk about Antonio Brown.
That's right. Former Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, thought by many to have been on a Hall of Fame career trajectory, may still very well be on that. Also a Hall of Fame boxer, apparently. Got into a fight at a joint practice with the Tennessee Titans. Punched cornerback Chris Jackson. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, just hammered him.
Yeah, hammered him.
You see the tweet right there and the accompanying picture. I forgot Antonio Brown was left-handed. For a third Creed movie, I would not be upset if AB made a guest appearance.
No way. First off, get this man. There was talks like a long time ago of Antonio Brown being a boxer, and he's like, this is going to be my second career as boxing. I now am like, yeah, no, that could be a real thing, because this is a clean punch. Like, he got the helmet off, Miles Garrett style, threw it to the side, came back and was just like, nope, not happening. Left hand, right, or left hook, beautiful execution. And then he was kicked out. I heard that he came back. I heard that Antonio Brown was, they were just like, nope, you're good. You had your timeout. Get back on the field, because that's just what Bruce Arians does down there. The man's just like, we're fighting everybody, throwing punches. This is the fifth fight, I'm pretty sure, of the day, actually.
You know what I just thought of? That Paul fight with Antonio Brown may actually be a legit thing now, because now that we've seen Jake Paul fight somebody, or Logan Paul. And honestly, bro, I can't keep up with
him. I don't know.
Whichever annoying one it is, and they're both super annoying, whichever one it is, the question was if Antonio Brown can fight, and now you know, five sure, that this man, when presented the opportunity, will in fact punch anybody.
Oh, throwing hands. I mean, it doesn't surprise you. And not to pull the whole this is Antonio Brown thing, but like, it's Antonio Brown. And if we've learned anything from Antonio Brown's past, is that the dude just doesn't care. Like, it's not like a think now or a wait now, think later type situation. It's just more of a, we're just going to do this because this is a heat of the moment. And he's a true scrapper. You know, if I was 16, 17 years old, and somebody, you know, got into my face on a football field, I'd be throwing hands too. At 32, I don't think I would be. But, you know, I'm only 25 years old, so I don't know what that life's like. Either way, I think it's phenomenal. And I don't – after four fights, I think this was the fourth one, and then there was one after this. At what point do you just go, okay, maybe we shouldn't practice anymore. We should just call it a day.
Nah, I love it, man. You have to get all of that frustration out. You got to remember these guys have been – going against each other for such a long time. Like, they need to get their anger and frustration out on somebody who's not wearing the same uniform as them. So, I mean, you kind of expect those kind of things to happen whenever you do have joint practices. And the Titans and the Buccaneers are two very good teams. And, you know, they're going to have players who obviously think they're the best at what they do whenever those two worlds collide, with no actual referees or really no consequences for anything that could happen in those training camp fights, aside from anything drastic. Yeah, I feel like you're going to see a couple of punches thrown. I don't think that's anything out of the ordinary.
What?
I think punches is where we
draw a line, though. I mean, the Steelers.
Yeah, it's where coaches will draw the line. But I mean, you've been at training camp for a while, and you know, I've been covering the Cardinals training camp. The punches aren't anything new to me. I've seen punches thrown not all the time, but I mean,
punches in Arizona. They're throwing punches in Pittsburgh. They're shoving. There's a lot. Dan Moore is fighting everybody.
It was during the closed portion of practice, so I can't comment or say anything.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. We don't know who it was.
So we have to act like it didn't happen.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So the Cardinals were not fighting, but maybe a punch was thrown between somebody and somebody. Okay.
Maybe. I'm not allowed to speculate at all. Moving back to Antonio Brown, though, when he threw that Gatorade cooler on the sideline, I knew that dude from the start was ready to like hit somebody. And honestly, man, like, good for him.
I mean, it's a clean punch. He clearly won the fight. Like, there's no doubt about it. You land a punch like that, it's over. You Miles Garrett rip a helmet off, it's over. You've already won, you know. And it was on a practice field, so he's not going to get in trouble. And honestly, I'm hearing from reports that he looks pretty good outside of throwing hands with Titans cornerbacks. That he's a dude that looks like he's rolling. He looks faster. Albert Breer was talking about how, you know, he's way more comfortable in this offense this offseason. And, you know, that speaks, I guess, a bunch of levels. It speaks a ton on what he can do. It's Antonio Brown. So as long as he's not fighting anybody, I don't care.
Yeah, it's crazy to think he's in an offense where basically right now he's the third option behind guys like Mike Evans and guys like Chris Godwin. And with that, you're going to see a lot of one-on-ones, and that's just something you don't want to do with Antonio Brown. I don't care how old he is. You know, we saw it in the Super Bowl where he caught that touchdown. He burned that dude on a post pattern in the end zone. And obviously, he still got it. And like Albert Breer had pointed out, he gets to spend another year in the offense. He gets, you know, just that much more comfortable with it. So, you know, if Antonio Brown has a big year, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But numbers wise, I don't think he's going to put up crazy numbers just because he is behind guys like Evans and Godwin. But dude, when he gets the ball thrown to him, and like Tom Brady's throwing that ball too, so like, you really don't have to like worry about anything when it comes to that. I think he's probably the best third option in the league right now. It's not even close.
Oh, I mean, he's a number one on a lot of teams, and if he never goes down that throwing furniture off a balcony, running out of Oakland as fast as humanly possible, you know, finding his way to Tampa a bit, and maybe a couple other really terrible things in between there that the NFL is still dealing with, then maybe he ends up on a team and he still is a number one somewhere. It just has to be Tampa. But, you know, it's Antonio Brown. The dude, like you said when you introduced this whole thing, could definitely be a Hall of Famer, and we already know that. So I fully expect things, you know, to go in an upward direction from here on out. What I didn't expect, I guess, was him throwing hands at practice, but it's awesome, and it's, you know, it's headline after headline, and I'm clapping up for whoever caught those pictures, because man, that dude should be making millions right now off of that. You get practice fights all the time. You never see a picture of it. That was a smoke show right there. Boom, left hook.
Antonio, thank you so much for the paychecks, for the future steak dinner that we will have based off of your actions. Greatly appreciate you. Don't know how we can repay you. Moving on to actual Pittsburgh Steelers, I think that's why a lot of people tune into the show to talk about the Steelers, right? A
couple of them.
Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers return home to Heinz Field to take on the Detroit Lions this Saturday. I think the game's at 7:30 local time, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Return home, and Big Ben will be playing some actual football. The first two games, he did not. It's the Hall of Fame game and then the road game against the Eagles last week. We've seen a lot of Mason. We've seen a lot of Dwayne Haskins, seen a little bit of Josh Dobbs. Haven't seen anything yet of Big Ben Roethlisberger, but it was confirmed earlier this week by Mike Tomlin that he would be playing. But the big question around Pittsburgh is how much, and how much should he play? It's a very heavily debated topic. Noah, They're basically going to be playing the whole quarterback situation by year. There's two preseason games left before the Steelers go on the road to Buffalo for week one of the regular season. How much do you think Big Ben should play?
I mean, I don't think he should play at all, but that's a to me, Ben Roethlisberger is a guy who is an 18-year proven veteran. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to lose his job. He doesn't need to get comfortable in an offense. I mean, the dude didn't have a preseason last year, started 11-0. Oh, and he's 38 years old, so we should probably rest him a little bit. That's what the Steelers should be thinking. And instead, they're going guns a-blazing. And look, we'll listen to Ben real quick. And he had a good reasoning as to why, which I think changes some of the mindset to this. But from the outside looking in, you got to look at this whole situation and go, it makes zero sense for Big Ben to be in a game on Saturday night.
Yes, yes, and yes. Yeah, I would, like I said, I would love to get as many reps as I can. Just it's been how many months since I've actually stepped on a football field to take a hit or play kind of, I know it's preseason, but still just meaningful type reps. And so with the newness of it, I definitely like to get as much as I can. Because we've got a new system. You know, there's a new coach to player communication, you know, in terms of a new guy. The offense is different. You know, he's up in the box as compared to on the field. So there's a lot of kind of newness, and I think that's I think it's prudent to get as much time as I can in under those circumstances.
Yeah, it's a situation where, like, you know, like he said, he's got a new offensive coordinator. I didn't know that Matt Canada was not going to be on the sideline.
I also didn't know that, and that's kind of big too.
Huge, and I think that I mean, I knew it when he said it yesterday, but before that, I didn't know. And I think that's a situation. Yeah, like, it's understandable. You have to get that communication down. It's a totally different game. You know, he's going to be working with them on a phone through the sideline. Like, you can't – there's no body language there. You know what I'm saying? You can't see how comfortable somebody is, or you can't communicate with your, you know, body or your eyes or whatever else you want to do. So you're going to miss things like that. So, yeah, I understand that. You want to get comfortable with your offensive coordinator. You also want your offensive line to be comfortable with you under center. And right now the offensive line is the biggest question mark in Pittsburgh, so I definitely get that. The downside – Ben plays two series and gets smoked three times, gets hurt. The Steelers are in all the trouble. Not lots of trouble. They are in all of the trouble.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm going to pull out a very cliche Mike Tomlin quote for you. You're going to hate me for this.
Hit the Tomlinism.
We don't live in our fears. Okay? We don't live in our fears. You don't roll somebody out there in fear of them getting hurt. Thank you. I'm so happy you actually got that.
I wasn't expecting that one. I don't know why I wasn't.
There's two different schools of thought to this, and I do understand both sides of it. On one side, you have the people who, like you said a little bit earlier, look, Ben's 38. That dude does not need any more, like, preseason reps. You know, you have guys who – you really want to see a battle without for a second quarterback spot whenever it comes to Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph. Get them as much time as possible. So in case something does happen with Ben, you have a more educated understanding of what guy you should throw out there in that unfortunate event. On the other side of the coin, though, you and I both know, historically speaking, and I feel like every year it happens, every single year the Steelers offense comes out slow. And it happens all around the league. It's the first week of the season. But Mike Tomlin doesn't exactly play his starters a whole lot those last couple weeks of the regular season. And taking away that fourth preseason game, now trimming the schedule down to three, it'll be really interesting to see how Tomlin does navigate that third game. But even if Ben, like, plays an entire half of football in that third and final preseason game, that's only maybe, like, 20-25 plays that he's played before walking into a regular season game at Buffalo to take on a tremendous Buffalo Bills team. Like, he kind of needs to fill himself out a little bit. Like, training camp's cool, practice is cool, but he's not getting reps against live NFL defenses who aren't not going to hit him whenever presented with the opportunity. Like, and like Ben said too, like, it's a completely new offense, and I get a lot of the language and a lot of terminology will be catered to Ben Roethlisberger just because you want to make sure your franchise quarterback is somewhat comfortable with everything going on. But at the same time, there's a lot of stuff that Ben kind of needs to get comfortable with before the regular season gets going. And if he doesn't play a whole lot, sure, practice is great, but it's a completely different world whenever live competition is across from you.
Yeah, and you're not wrong. And honestly, I just thought about this as you were talking. Like, if the Steelers, say worst case scenario, and I'll live in some fear for Mike Tomlin, say Ben does get hurt or something happens or there's a setback somewhere with someone, if you're going to play them all right now, you still have about 2.5-3 weeks before week one of the regular season. So it gives you time to heal, recover, do whatever you got to do, make those adjustments. I get that. And you're 100% right. Ben needs to learn basically an entire new communication system with both his offensive line, his rookie center, and his offensive coordinator. So this is a huge moment for Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. It's still worsome. It's still a situation.
It is. And like that's the other side of the coin too. You can never be too overly cautious whenever trying to protect your franchise quarterback. So I definitely get that. But to answer the question, obviously Ben is going to play. That's something we can't control.
Yeah.
How long do you think they leave Ben in there? How long do you think the Steelers leave Big Ben in there? I give it maybe a quarter.
I think a quarter is like the max, but that kind of depends on how the series play out or, you know, whatever, how long they're on offense. I think if the Pittsburgh Steelers get the ball first, and I think they will receive if given the opportunity. I think if the Steelers get the ball first and everything goes smooth and quickly, I can see him playing at least three series. I think you max it out at three. I think at that point you've said, okay, we've done what we can do. Ben got some live action. It's a little bit to get the ball moving until week one. Let's tone it back and make sure nobody gets hurt. So it's a good idea, and I think three series is about where it ends. That being said, if the Steelers play one series in the first quarter, he's not coming back in.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think at least for this third preseason game that they have, I think you leave him in maybe a quarter. Like you said, a max of three series. So if they're marching on the field and like the first quarter ends, I think you let Ben finish that drive and then you pull him out afterwards. I think for the fourth preseason game, you leave him in probably a half just to get him used to playing.
Yeah.
Get those wheels back. No, he probably won't, but like just to get those like wheels turning a little bit. Cause like going from playing a quarter to playing an entire game of football, it's a little different. And like Ben's another year older, like that conditioning probably isn't close to where prime Ben Roethlisberger is, but granted,
Slim Ben
appears every year, and I'm so tired of people talking about it because one, that dude isn't slim. I'm not calling him
slim
fat,
Ben,
but that dude hasn't been slim since 2004, man. Like
he's slim. It's 2021, and the dude is not eating avocado ice cream, but people are noticing. Okay, there were reports from golf pros.
We have resorted to golf pros.
I was there, bro. I was there. I lived at the Slim Ben reports.
So another dynamic to how much Big Ben plays in these final preseason games, especially Saturday against the Detroit Lions, all your coverage, allsteelers.com or sli.com/NFL/Steelers, by the way, for live up-to-dates on that, is how much the other guys are going to play. And that's also a very big thing. Do we know who's going to step on the field after Big Ben's done?
No, we have no idea. And that's – I'm kind of glad that you asked that question. So I'm pretty sure that Mike Tomlin is just messing with all of us at this point. He knows that Steelers Twitter is just like watching their every move and their every offensive snap to see which quarterback is on the field. So he didn't give us a set order of who will play. They said they'll play it by ear. And then the other day when he was asked why Dwayne got second team reps instead of Mason – his exact response was, because we like messing with you guys. So I'm pretty certain that he's just going to hold it off and he's just going to be like, all right, we're going to make sure everybody gets a taste of this one. And then they'll toss somebody in there. If I had to guess, I think that, I want to say Dwayne Haskins, but I would think that Mason Rudolph is still the second guy to come on the field. And then Dwayne, and then Josh Dobbs. I think Dwayne probably starts next week. Just as like a, okay, we'll see what you can do. But I think right now it's still Mason's job.
I think it's Mason's job too. And even as somebody who still thinks Mason Rudolph is a better quarterback than Dwayne Haskins at this moment in time, I think you got to roll Dwayne out there. If presented the opportunity, I think it'd be a lot better for Dwayne to get out there and not play against third stringers, but second stringers. And I know that's not a whole big world of difference. But I mean, I feel like we already know what we have in Mason Rudolph. I mean, he does look a little bit better than what we've previously seen out of him. I said a little bit. I said a little bit. Don't look at me like that. Just can y'all?
Just a little
but
bit.
We don't know exactly what we have in Dwayne Haskins. And with the preseason winding down, we need to find out what we have in Dwayne Haskins so we know whether or not to throw Rudolph or Haskins in. We already know what Josh Dobbs is. We already know what Josh Dobbs is. A super smart guy who can extend the play with his legs. Couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
True. And that's
when it comes to Haskins, there's still that like mysterious, oh, he's a first round pick a couple years ago. The talent's obviously there. Maybe the Steelers can like squeeze some juice out of him. We already know what Josh Dobbs are. We already know what Mason Rudolph is. Put Dwayne in there for probably like two quarters on Saturday. And then I'd probably play Dwayne like three quarters on the fourth preseason game because we need to find out sooner or later. And like they're not going to play in the regular season. Hopefully, knock on desk wood. We need to find out right now.
Yeah, true. And that is you are 100% right on that. They do need to know who Dwayne Haskins is in a regular or in a regular game setting. They do need to put him against better competition. I agree with all of it. I still don't think that's how the Steelers are looking at it. Again, that's just how the Steelers are looking at it. But I do agree. I think at some point you have to look at this and say, okay, look, Mason Rudolph's gotten plenty of opportunities in regular season games with regular season players. Let's see what Dwayne Haskins can do with some of these guys who are on our roster, who hopefully he plays it with at some point in his career, if that's what the thinking is. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago he said it that they've had conversations about the future in Pittsburgh. I would only assume that those conversations are, hey, Dwayne, there's a possibility that you're going to start after Ben Roethlisberger leaves. So why not see now what he can do with the guys that are going to be here after Ben Roethlisberger leaves? I think that does make total sense. Again, I think the Steelers are going to go Ben, Mason, Dwayne, maybe Josh Dobbs in this game. But if Dwayne comes out there, it does make total sense. I think next week he's got to start, though.
Undoubtedly so. And before we do wrap up this episode of All Steelers Talk, got some questions in the mailbag. Feels great.
The mailbag.
Yeah, feels great. We got some phenomenal questions. Three of them.
Yeah, yeah. Three Steelers preview questions here for tomorrow. And obviously, anybody listening, if you got questions, drop them in, man. We love questions. So toss them our way for anything Pittsburgh Steelers versus Detroit Lions in the season or in the home opener. Tomorrow night, 7:30 at Heinz Field. And if you're going and you got a cool tailgate, of course, let me know because I love a good tailgate.
Bring your mask, by the way.
You got to bring a mask if you're going into Heinz Field. If it's a good one, I hear that they're giving out high fives. I don't know. All right, we'll start off with our boy, Tyler Hernley, who asks, who will be the biggest surprise cut when the initial 53 roster is released? Tyler, I don't know if you got the message, but this is Lions versus Steelers questions. No, I'm just kidding.
I love Tyler.
I love Tyler. Donnie, I'll let you go first on this one because I got some ideas in the bag here.
So this is actually a really thought-provoking question, and that time to see what the 53-man roster is going to look like is rapidly approaching us.
Rapidly.
That'll definitely be a topic on future episodes of All Steelers Talk. But for now, biggest surprise cut that will be off of the 53-man roster, my money is on Benny Snell.
Oh,
it is not Benny Snell's preseason right now, my dude. I think with Najee already in there, Kalen Ballage has looked great, great in the snaps we've seen him play in the preseason. So is Anthony McFarland. And with Najee already kind of occupying that bigger back role, Najee can punch it in at the goal line. Like Benny Snell's role is very, very unclear now. So unless Benny Snell is a phenomenal special teams gunner or a phenomenal punt protector that I don't know about, I don't know what Benny Snell's role looks like for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021.
Okay. Well, over Jalen Samuels, though? I can see where you're coming from there.
No. The reason I put him over J-Sam is Tyler said biggest surprise cut. I don't think Jalen Samuels makes the roster.
Okay. I like that. I do like that. And I agree. I think that Jalen Samuels is the only fourth-year guy I've ever seen who has such a slim shot to make a roster. It's crazy. The dude just doesn't even look like he wants to play football anymore. So, I can see this. Go ahead.
Before you go on, big credit to you, because whenever Steelers camp first started rolling around, you're like, hey, man, like, Kalen Ballage kind of looks good, bro.
And I'm does
like,
look good.
Like, Kalen Ballage has kind of looked good for like three other teams so far in the NFL. I don't know. First two preseason games, man, he's arguably looked like the second best running back in Pittsburgh behind Anthony McFarland, because Najee Harris hasn't looked tremendously all that great. You know, I think that'll come with time, but purely based off of preseason performances, Ballage looked phenomenal, and that's a Noah Strackmine find right there if I've ever seen one.
Boom, boom. But look, Kalen Ballage has looked good from the jump. He just looks motivated. He looks like a guy who knows that this might be his last shot in the NFL. And I'll give you something to back up your Benny Snell thing here. So the Steelers might only keep three running backs, and that sounds absolutely nuts. But I think at some point they're going to look at Trey Edmonds and go, that's a guy that we want on this team. We have no idea what his use will be, but we want him on the team. And I think that you have to remove a running back to keep a running back. So Benny Snell Jr. might be that guy. At the same time, Benny Snell's been hurt. You know, there's been some things here. They obviously love what Benny Snell Jr. can do. He carries a bunch of potential, and he's only getting paid for a fourth rounder, so that's not a whole ton. My surprise cut. I got two of them. One I'm going to toss out because I didn't get into it on Twitter. I was talking on Twitter with some people yesterday who you know, didn't like that I think that Cody White is going to make the roster. And then somebody said, quote tweeted me and said, Ray Ray is a lock or something like that. Like Ray Ray, like basically calling me John Clayton. And I, you know, took offense to that because I'm not John Clayton. So one, Ray Ray McLeod. I just think that he is last on the list of three for the potential fifth spot between him, Anthony Johnson, and Cody White. I just don't see him making the team. He's been hurt. It set him back. They like Cody White, dude. I don't know why. We've been talking about this for weeks. You know, I've heard from people that Cody White is a dude that the Steelers want to keep, and they just wanted him to get healthy so that he could prove to them that he deserves to be kept. He's playing with the ones, so they see something, and he's proven something. So Ray Ray McLeod is definitely number one. Number two. Man, this could be tough. Number two, I'm going to toss it out there, and this could be – I could be way off on this, or I could be spot on. Number two, Robert Spillane. I just don't think that he fits what the Pittsburgh Steelers want to have at inside linebacker. I just think that Buddy Johnson is a better fit in the NFL in that role. He's got more potential. He's younger. It's a whole contract situation. And then they're not getting rid of Marcus Allen because he's a special teams ace. So I just don't think there's room for Robert Spillane. Poor Robert Spillane. But I would say those are my two. I don't know how surprising they are, but like, I think they're pretty good.
I would be I'd be pretty shocked if Spillane actually didn't make the 53-man roster. I know, obviously, now with the Steelers bringing in Schobert, that he's probably not starting material in their eyes. But I still feel like it's like a really solid backup linebacker that you kind of have like having your tool back. Ray Ray McLeod wouldn't be the most shocking thing on earth. And I don't know if that's just like from our conversations and you giving me that little inside scoop that the Steelers love Cody White.
Love him
with the dude. So that being said, I mean, it's a very, very deep receiving core, and like somebody's got to go, you know, like they can't keep all of them. So that wouldn't really surprise me, especially with like if Deontay can learn how to like secure the ball on like punting like kickoff returns. Like he's definitely a guy. I know Kalen Ballage can sometimes occupy that role as well whenever asked. So like
Anthony McFarland, Cody White,
too. Yeah, in the return game. There's not like a whole lot of like wiggle room for Ray Ray to like make some noise. So after that, it's like, okay, well, this guy is obviously not going to see a whole lot of time on the actual field itself. If we really like Cody White as a better receiver, then what's the point of keeping Ray Ray around?
Exactly. Ray Ray McLeod had one run for 40 yards and a couple like almost explosive kick returns, and people loved this guy. Yeah. I understand it. I get it. It's not enough to keep him on an NFL roster. There's a reason that he wasn't on an NFL roster before Pittsburgh. Remember that. Here's our next question. Do the Steelers have the potential to be a top 15 rushing team with Najee Harris in the backfield, or will the state of their offensive line prevent it?
Do they have the potential? Yeah. Will they do it? No. And
no.
That's not a knock on Najee. That's a knock on what's in front of him. And right now, the Steelers' offensive line does not look good.
No.
At all. Granted, we've only just barely seen the projected starters play with each other for a handful of practices now. I get that. Totally respect it. If and when they do come together, it's going to take a lot of time for them to gel. The left tackle spot, big as a mystery as anybody would suggest. I mean, Chukwuma Okorafor has looked like a shadow of what we thought he was. And even what
we what did we think he was?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Left guard, you got Kevin Dotson, who's still working his way back from being basically demoted to a third string guy. I mean, we all expect him to do really great things in Pittsburgh, but like at the moment right now, like it doesn't seem like he's in the very great graces of some people in Pittsburgh. Center Kendrick Green, no complaints there. Brother, keep doing you. You look phenomenal. You look great, by the way. Right guard, Trey Turner, no. No. Trey Turner, no.
No.
Tackle, I've heard really good things about Zach Banner. I haven't gotten an opportunity to watch him in game yet, and that's something I'll really be watching for tomorrow. But according to a lot of reports, Zach Banner has looked pretty solid in practice so far. So I'm not extremely worried about the right tackle position. But as a whole unit, it's not looking good. It's not looking great. And that was a big concern about the Steelers taking a running back over another top offensive lineman in the first round. That whole argument of, hey, like, look, Najee's great, but who is Najee going to run behind? Really come to fruition right now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem, is the offensive line can definitely hold this. It can hold the whole team back, not even just the running game. And you're pretty spot on with the analysis of every guy. Like, Kevin Dotson is a workhorse, and the dude is going to be an all-pro one day. We already know that. Kendrick Green looks like a monster, super athletic. You know, he's got to get some things down, but he's a rookie. He's a third-round rookie. Zach Banner, tons of potential, and everybody hopes that he plays well. Trey Turner looks really good when he's just bull blocking everybody. When he is straight ahead, this is a dive where you're going straight, hit the guy in front of you. Looks phenomenal. When he's got to pull and be a little agile, he's real slow. You could just tell, like, that's not his forte. And that's going to hurt the Steelers because Najee Harris is a shifty dude who, if you get him out in space, is going to make a lot of things happen. And Chuk's freaking a core four, man. Get him out.
Realistically, do you think Dan Moore at some point in the season could be starting over Chuk's?
Yeah, I'm going to say the over-under on Chuk's getting benched for Dan Moore is like week three. And I think that's because week one, he looks terrible. Week two, he does not look any better. And then week three, he starts the game because they're going to be like, okay, we're going to give him a shot. And then halfway through the game, they're going, nope, Dan Moore's in there. I'm saying week three because it's not like he looks like hit or miss. It's like he looks okay at times, and then he looks absolutely awful or nowhere to be found 90% of the time. So Chukwuma is the biggest question mark, and I think the biggest piece of the offense that can drag them down as a whole. And I think that the Steelers need to make that adjustment. Plus, I think he would play pretty good as that jumbo tackle. I think he'd look fine being out there, just being like that extra big body to play on the right side. I don't know. I think Chukes is what holds them back. I don't think Najee is a top 15 runner or that the Steelers have a top 15 running game. I will say this. I still think that Najee Harris gets 1,000 yards this season total and probably has pretty close to 1,000 yards on the ground. And I also think that Anthony McFarland comes pretty close to 1,000 yards overall as well. So I think that there's potential. I just don't think if they're going to make anything happen, I don't think it's going to be on the ground.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, like, this isn't on Najee at all. Like, and I kind of feel bad for him because there's a lot of expectations being placed on him. And if he doesn't hit them, people aren't going to be looking at the five dudes in front of him blocking. They're going to be looking at him.
Yeah, nobody's going to give him the credit.
But it is very, very few guys in NFL history have been able to overcome a very, not, I don't want to say very bad, a averaged at best offensive line and do great things. Barry Sanders is the one that pops out of my head, but Najee Harris isn't Barry Sanders. We shouldn't expect him to be anything close to Barry Sanders, man.
Yep. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough go, and I think over the years it'll get better. I think next year it'll get better, but this year it's going to be right. It's going to be rough, excuse me. Here is our third and final question here. Do you think this game will determine whether or not our secondary is good enough as it is, or will it show the Steelers that they need to add another player for depth or even as a starter? And is James Pierre the answer? I'll let you take this one first.
I feel like we already know what the secondary is. I mean, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room for like how great the secondary can be. But I mean, you can look at it like this, like if Jared Goff outside of Sean McVay is tearing you up, yeah, you got to find an alternative, brother. It's like, that's not going to fly over a 17 game regular season. That being said, I feel like sure, another game of preseason will give us a little bit more of a grading scale to find out what we know about the secondary. But like I said, we know what Joe Hayden is. We know what Minka is. We know what Terrell Edmonds is. We're starting to find out what James Pierre is. And I think that leads into the second part of that question. Is James Pierre the answer? Right now, as the cornerback two opposite Joe Hayden, I think he has to be. We know whether or not he's ready. We talked about this on the last episode of All Steelers Talk, that Cam Sutton like just isn't built to play on the outside every single snap, and that's okay. He's a first little guy. He's a chess piece. The Steelers can move about the defense. But for him to play every snap on the boundary, no, it's not going to work. James Pierre has to be that guy. And, you know, the little bit of action we saw from him in 2020, he looked good. The action that we've seen out of James Pierre in preseason this year, he's looked really good. So, like, right now, yeah, I do think James Pierre is the guy moving forward. Now, whether or not he plays consistently over a 17-game schedule, that will be another topic of discussion because, you know, at the end of the day, anybody can look good in preseason.
Yep.
Anybody can look good in training camp. Anybody can look good in OTAs. It's whenever the actual games start to count and matter, where you're going up against top-tier receivers week in and week out, you actually learn whether or not a guy has the it factor. But right now, I think James Pierre looks good. I think James Pierre has earned the opportunity to start on the outside, and that's where I rest my case.
I agree. I think that, you know, for one, how much are you really going to get tested against Jared Goff? Probably not a lot. So the Steelers will likely look fine. I think if anything, it kind of like gives Cam Sutton more of a confidence boost. It's like, hey, go out there, play well, and kind of just assure yourself, like, I could still do this. I could still play on the outside. Cause he did, you know, he had a rough game against Jalen Reagor in Philly. But no, I don't think it answers anything. I don't think the Steelers are looking to make a move right now when it comes to that. I think they're going to wait it out. Like we talked about earlier in the week, I just think that they wait for this third round of cuts and say who's available. And right now, I think maybe a secondary person is, or a secondary player is in that possibility, but I wouldn't bank on it, and I definitely wouldn't be banking on it after a performance against Detroit. That being said, if they're atrocious and they just get toasted by Jared Goff, then I could definitely see the Steelers saying, no, this is not going to work. Sorry about you, and moving on. But so, I don't have high expectations for them.
What I will say, guys that we've been dogging the entire preseason, basically through training camp as well, Arthur Mollett, Antoine Brooks Jr., even Trey Norwood a little bit. I know you're high on him, but even Trey Norwood a little bit. Justin Lane. Now is a really good opportunity to shut a lot of people up, including you and me, with a really solid performance against the Lions. Like,
oh, definitely. You go into a season home opener.
Great of an opportunity as ever in front of the home crowd.
Yep. Exactly. You go into Heinz Field and play well. I mean, you're gonna put a big target on your back as a guy who can now make an impact on this team. You're gonna get fans to fall in love with you. You're gonna get coaches to fall in love with you. You know, Art Rooney's gonna be in attendance, the whole nine. So yeah, it's, you know, it's a good opportunity for those guys. It's also a good opportunity for guys like Justin Lane to have a bad game and for everybody to just say, yep, nope, sorry about you. Not happening, and move on. So it's going to go both ways, and it depends on how good you're going to play And I don't think the Steelers secondary is a group that you could say they're going to have a good game. I think it's still up as a big, giant, we don't know what's going to happen.
Undoubtedly so. We don't know what's going to happen, but we will find out what is going to happen this Saturday. The Detroit Lions make the trek to Pittsburgh to Heinz Field to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers preseason week 3 of number 4 for the Steelers. Next week, we'll have all of the latest analysis, insight, news, and reactions to the Steelers' third preseason game, their home opener. But until then, it's been Donnie. It's been Noah. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel, All Steelers Talk. Follow us on Twitter at @SI_Steelers. Follow me at Donnie Drew and follow Noah at Noah Strack. Guys, it's been real. It's been a lot of things, and we will see you next time.
Today, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
The air we breathe, the water we drink, the soil that grows food for our families. These basic elements are essential to healthy, happy lives. America's corn growers think so too. Across the country, they're pitching in every day and doing the work to produce food and fuel that is healthy in a sustainable way. Go to ncga.com to learn more about how corn farmers grow a more sustainable future for us all. That's ncga.com.
This isn't just any day, it's the day. The day you welcome new people to your team or welcome an idea that changes everything. Wherever your day takes you, Comcast Business can help. With a network that can deliver gig speeds to most businesses, Comcast Business Security Edge to help protect your connected devices, and expert support 24/7. Every day in business is a big day. Comcast Business will keep you ready for what's next. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Check out the latest footwear innovation from Adidas, the Adizero Adios Pro 2, which features carbon fiber energy rods that are both lightweight and precisely tuned for a more anatomical transition. Everything from the ultra-light polyester upper to the re-sculpted midsole and the reinvented outsoles are designed for speed. Visit adidas.com to learn more today.